Seeing this lovely congregation this morning, everybody gathered, again, all the saints in our midst, the youngest saints, the oldest saints, everyone together. I'm now wishing retrospectively that the church had given us a very cheerful reading this morning. And Jesus said, bring the little children to me. Or as we heard on Wednesday, on All Saints Day, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who yearn for justice, blessed are the people. Or some uplifting, inspiring reading. And the reading we have, if you listen carefully, doesn't quite fit. But it really does. I'll get to that eventually. But I think when we hear it, we're confronted with the prospect of an angry Jesus. And we tend to think of Jesus as the one who is a good example, who's the teacher, who is extremely patient, who's compassionate, who's loving, who goes out of his way to help others, who suffers and dies for us. But once in a while, we have this really angry Jesus. And it's been building for a whole chapter. This is the beginning of chapter 23. Chapter 22, which we've heard for weeks now, is in this endless battle with the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders of the people, because they keep trying to trap him. It's like they're putting their foot out and hoping they can get him to trip up and fall. And again, he's arguing with them about, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. You don't really know what your own religion is about. And if you have any doubt about how angry Jesus is, read the rest of chapter 23 after today's gospel. It's known as the seven woes. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You snakes, you vipers. You're always making life harder for people. You don't do the right thing. You're all hypocrites. You ruin everything. And the chapter ends, again, not happily, but Jesus looking out over Jerusalem and saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why do you always kill your prophets? We come to you with God's word. We come to you to tell the truth, and you kill the prophets. And he knows, of course, in a few days, this is after Palm Sunday, he himself will be killed. Angry Jesus, sad Jesus. The end of the chapter, he says, if only you could be like my children, like the mother hen who draws in the chicks. If only you would let God love you, things would be wonderful. But I think he's angry because he looks around. He must have looked at a group of disciples like us today and said, look at you all, young people, old people, all ages, all kinds. Look at you all gathered here. I want you to understand right now, he's saying, what kind of a community I want you to be. And so we have today's gospel. One caution at the beginning. The attack is on the scribes and Pharisees, those who sit on the chair of Moses. And as they said, the chapter goes on to attack them again and again. This is not, we know now, after 2,000 years of sad experience, after Vatican II, this is not attack on the Jewish people or the Jewish religion. And nobody who wants to call themselves a Christian has the right to go from this gospel to say, see, the Jews are Pharisees, the Jews are hypocrites, the Jews are insincere, whatever like that. I think that's not what it's about at all. But Jesus is in that existential moment. He's there among the people. He's been preaching the truth. He's been compassionate. He's been loving. And his enemies are gathering to try to destroy him. So again, he turns to his disciples. He turns to the people like us who have gathered and says, I want you to get it straight. First point, the scribes, the learned leaders of our tradition, the Pharisees who set the role model for us, they sit on the chair of Moses, they teach in the name, as we say in Catholic tradition, they're the magisterium, the teaching authority. And Jesus says, listen to what they tell you. Pay attention to their word because they're giving you the holy word of God. Okay, good start. But he says, don't dare do what they do because they never practice what they preach. And I think 2,000 years ago when the community was really just getting off the ground, Matthew is looking around and saying, what have we become? Jesus just went to heaven. It's the earliest days of the church. There's this gap growing between the things we say and the things I do, you do, we do. And he's looking and saying, yeah, it was the scribes and Pharisees a few years ago, But now it's the leaders of the church, it's any of us who stand forward and take a leading position. Pay attention to their word, but don't start imitating them, because sometimes they say one thing and they act in an entirely different way. We may feel bad sometimes, a disloyalty to the church, or a sense of cynicism if we're critical of leaders, priests, bishops, popes in some cases. But Jesus is saying, you've got to be respectful, take the word, but don't be gullible. Don't be naive and just do what they do because they've lost the spirit of the word they preach. And he gives the examples. The problem with these people is that they love to be in charge. They love to sit on the chair of Moses. People come up and kiss their ring. They love to be fawned over, looked at, admired. They love it when you call them by titles. Father, Your Excellency, Your Eminence, Your Holiness. They love having these titles. They wear their phylacteries and tassels, which in the tradition of the Torah, these are the bits of the scroll that you would wear on your arm and on your forehead when you pray, the word of God that you wear as a vestment. But these people have lovely little scrolls, lovely little tassels, lovely little wrap around their arms, because I want you to notice, do you notice I have this lovely vestment on? Do you notice this? You see I have my Roman collar? That it's so much, make sure that you know who I am so that you respect me. So that if we have an event, oh, Father is very busy, let Father come to the front of the line. Oh, Father is here, welcome, Father, here's the best seat for you. Oh, Father will bring you something extra to eat or something extra to drink. Whatever Father wants, we'll give you because you are the one who is number one in our community. And Jesus is really, you know, using the occasion of criticizing the scribes and Pharisees who are out to kill him. You can see why he'd be angry, to remind the early church, don't you divide into the people and leaders who don't practice what they preach. Don't divide the community into those who are on top and those who are on the bottom. Don't take literally this message of the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherds sometimes are bad shepherds. They're not always good shepherds. They're not always out for you. And by the way, you are not sheep. He wants his people to grow up, to be discerning, to pay attention, and to look at the authority and say, yes, the word of God is a great gift to us, but when I see that person who's speaking, I want to know, do they actually live out what they're talking? Do they walk the walk? Or are they just talking? And so it's a great challenge he's putting forward, and I think part of his anger, and again, if you read the whole chapter, you'll see how angry he gets, is that there's too much at stake in the church of the first century or the church of the 21st century to say, oh, just let it roll along, and maybe some people will be scandalized by the hypocrisy or scandalized by things that leaders do that they shouldn't do, and maybe our young people will come to church or maybe our young people will drift off and do something else. Don't worry about it. Jesus is saying, worry about it. You want to be the kind of community where, again, we literally enacted today, where all the young people who are the future saints of our church come and show us who they are. Be the kind of community that young people don't peel off in their teens and 20s and don't come back. And how do you get at that? You break down these walls of hypocrisy, of pride, of privilege, and be a community that God wants you to be. And now he instructs the people. And obviously, none of you have ever read this passage before, right? Because how many of you wrongly said this morning, good morning, Father. How are you, Father? And Jesus is saying to them, don't call anyone on earth your father. You have only one Father in heaven. Don't say, oh, Father, just teach us. Tell us everything about the gospel because you are the one who has the PhD, etc. No, you have only the teacher who is God's own self, God's own word. As Martin Luther would say, we're at the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, open the Bible yourself and be taught. Listen to your brothers and sisters, listen to those who've read it more than you have, but let yourself be a teacher so that God can teach you. Don't go around thinking, oh, I'm 75 years old, but I'm still a child, and the priest who's maybe half my age, not me, but some priest is half your age, and is your master or your father or something like that. The priests and the bishops and the pope are not father figures in that sense. In the community, have nobody with honors, titles of honor, have nobody who's called your father. And it says, most strangely, don't have guides, don't think they're guides or teachers for you as if they know the way and you don't. And I think what Jesus again is saying, the reason I've come here, the reason I've walked the earth for these years, the reason I've gone preaching and teaching in the villages, the reason I've given endless good example, is that all I want is that you realize you can do the same thing. You can be like me, Jesus. You can act this way. You can be compassionate. You can be generous. You can be loving. You can be a teacher. You can learn from one another. And don't have a sense that all of us are passive, all of us are sheep, all of us are just receiving, and there's somebody sitting on a throne who's going to tell me exactly what it means to be Christian. Away with that. And so he says the real key, I've told you don't do this, don't do this, don't say this, don't say that. The real thing is, if you would be important in the community, then serve everyone. Those who serve are the true leaders of the community. And I think week after week, I've been on here only a few months, but I can see all those wonderful announcements at the end of Mass about the service projects, about the youth activities, about pro-life activities, about gathering money for various charitable causes. Community service is not simply something we do at the end of Mass or something extra, but service defines the community. Those who would be the greatest should be the least. Those who are serving others, who are down on their knees washing people's feet, that's the leadership of the community. And I think, like any human organization, we could talk about politics and we could talk about business and we could talk about education. There are so many ways in which we can slip into this passive attitude. They must be better than us because they're in charge. And Jesus is saying the people in charge are often the ones who do the most trouble. They are going to kill me in a few days, he says, he thinks. They're not necessarily on your side. They're saying one thing, they're doing something else, but you are the people of God, he's telling this earliest church, and therefore 2,000 years later he's telling us, you are the people of God, you can get down off the throne, you can treat each other as brother and sister, and you can show your teenagers, your children, the youngest members of the community, what does it mean to be a Catholic? We serve one another. The greatest among us is the one who serves the most. That's all he's asking, is that we be brothers and sisters, we break the bread together, we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we visit those in prison, we care for those who are lonely. If you do that, Jesus says, you will avoid this endless human temptation to start being the kind of person who does nothing, who says one thing and acts another way. So seriously, we can celebrate today all the saints of the church, all the saints in heaven, all our children who are showing us what the saints are like. But let us pray that all of us be a saintly community, that all of us, whatever age we are, live out the gospel, help each other, serve, so that when people say, what does it mean to be a Catholic? Look at this community and say, see how they love one another. And that's enough.